Welcome to Evangelism on Fire. My name is Mark Thomas, a pastor, a teacher of the best-selling book of all time, your host, and most importantly, your evangelism coach. And each week, we bring you an on-fire message to empower you to live the most exciting life God has created you to live by actively sharing your faith in Jesus with others. I'm so thankful for our time together today. It's an honor spending time with you, Evangelism on Fire Nation. This will truly inspire you, and I believe it will inspire so many people that you know. So if you're enjoying this, make sure to share this link with a friend who needs to hear it. Just copy and paste the link on your podcast app you're listening to. And a quick reminder, click the subscribe button over on Apple Podcasts right now to be notified on the Evangelism on Fire in the future. And leave us a rating and review as well if you enjoy this episode. Evangelism on Fire Nation, I have a special guest with us today. Her name is Gigi, and I'm so excited to have her on our podcast today. She has an amazing testimony of what Jesus has done in her life. So Gigi, say hello to Evangelism on Fire Nation and tell us a little bit about yourself so we can get to know you.
All right. Good morning, Evangelism on Fire. I pray that my message blesses you today.
Yes. So,
yes. Amen.
Yes.
Let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Ghislaine LaBarre Taft, but I'm known as Gigi, as my close friends call me. I was born and raised in Morocco in North Africa. I am actually the product of a French Catholic mother and a Muslim Moroccan father. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
That is, right? They met in med school. They wed and they had two boys and a girl. That would be me. And since I am the youngest, I had to toughen up at a very, very young age. So when I was 3 years old, my mom had had enough of not being fully accepted by my paternal family. She didn't want to convert to Islam. And my father, who was very cool and very opened while he lived in France, became very Muslimish, so to speak, when he went back home. And that's part of the culture, actually.
Right.
So while on vacation, she met an American and just up and left us. My dad, who was a prominent doctor, found us a nanny who loved us unconditionally. And Pastor Mark, I truly believe that that's where my unconditional love for others come from. She really instilled that in me, you know, those values.
Right. That's amazing. And
to this day, it actually touches me to the core that someone would be willing to leave her family just to care for us. It actually brings tears to my eyes, truly, you know. So that's that sacrifice right there, you know.
Yeah.
And the reason she did that is at first she would come and take care of us during the day, but I would cry and wouldn't sleep all night because I missed her so much. So she gave it all up and came to live with us.
Wow, that is so amazing. And you're right, Gigi. I mean, what a great expression of unconditional love.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so when I was 6 years old, my father died in a plane crash. There were 60 doctors on board. One survived to tell the tale. Very sad story. My dad's younger brother, my uncle, and his wife took us in. They had three kids. We were three. And you would think we were the Brady Bunch, except we were not a happy family, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So my uncle, and like my father, was a practicing Muslim and taught us to pray five times a day, which is how we pray, how Islam teaches you to pray, basically.
Right.
He would yank us out of bed to ensure that we had prayed. So literally, we would be asleep at night and he'd yank us out to make sure that we had prayed. Not having the time to pray meant that you would pile up your prayers. Islam requires the faithful to pray five times per day and allows you to make up those prayers if you are busy or if you forget, basically. Mm-hmm. Allah is the authority and he is not to be questioned. Actually, nothing is to be questioned, period.
Right.
So I grew up really fearing and hating this punishing God who sat up in heaven and seemed to enjoy tormenting me. Well, at least that's how I felt, right? Nothing was going right at that time. When I was 16, I found my mom through the embassy, the French embassy, and I ran away. I literally went to school one day and ran away. My mom lived in New York. She sent me a plane ticket. And I came to the U.S. with not even my toothbrush, I tell people. My brother gave $20, and that's what I had in my pocket.
So you not even a toothbrush, and you had $20. That's all the money that you had with you.
That's all I had with me. And I crossed the ocean and came to this country with absolutely nothing, an empty heart, a broken empty heart. I had left my brother and... And that's what happened. So it took a few months because we had to wait for the visa. My mom had gotten me a visa and I left Morocco. I never returned until 2013 when my brother, who's biologically my cousin, but as I had said before, we were three and they were three. So we call each other siblings, brothers and sisters. When he got married, he insisted for me to go back. And that was my first time back.
Right.
'80s.
Wow.
So, of course, being the way I was, I looked for love in the wrong places. And I met a young man and we had a very bitter divorce. And I moved to Florida. I was an empty shell and I studied religion, trying to find God all over the place. I thought, well, if it's not in a guide, there has to be a God somewhere. And I landed on an ashram studying Buddhism. And I felt like that Buddha's teachings were calm, loving, and that was something that I could follow. Meanwhile, I earned my degree in teaching, in education, but couldn't find a job. So I had to move to Charlottesville, Virginia, to teach French and Spanish at a local high school. So that's pretty much what happened, like how I grew up, so to speak.
Wow. That's an amazing, unique story of your life.
It really is very different.
So let me ask you this, Gigi, like when you came to this country, to our country with only, again, you said no toothbrush, only $20 in your pocket. What empowered you to have the courage to make that move with only $20 in your pocket?
My brother wanted me to leave. He knew, my older brother knew that my family was trying to marry me. So in Islam, they marry people at a young age, really, or some right. family. And people were starting to look at me and ask my uncle for my hand in marriage, and he was considering it. And at the time I was 16 and my brother wanted me to study and be educated and do something with my life. So he's the one who pushed me, really.
Yeah, that is so awesome. So how did you discover Jesus as your savior as a once practicing Muslim?
Well, one day my friend Bob and his wife invited me to Effort Baptist Church, which is a church here in Fluvanna County. For their daughter's baptism. I really didn't want to go because I didn't believe in Christianity. You have to understand, for Muslims, the Trinity is not only foreign, but it's absolutely horrible. How can you be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
It's just not heard of. So I really wasn't interested in religion and Christianity. But remember, I had a big heart and love that was instilled in me. So I went with a gift because I love to give gifts. And, you know, and I really did not go for any religious reasons. And after all, what kind of a God would allow a 3-year-old to be abandoned by her mother? or what kind of a God would allow a six-year-old to lose her father, to be raised by an authoritarian uncle? My uncle emotionally, physically, and sexually abused me, and that was hard for me.
Yeah. So of course you're thinking, if there is a God, what kind of God will allow that pain and suffering into my life?
Right. Absolutely. And so at the end of the service, the pastor made an altar call, which I ignored completely. Actually, I was thinking, I need to buy food. I need to do this. I need to do that. And he then asked everyone to stand and sing, "Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart." And honestly, I don't even remember what happened. All I know is that the flood of tears emanated from my eyes. I couldn't even stand, and I crawled to the altar.
Oh, wow. You crawled to the altar?
I could not walk, Pastor Mark. And that is the God's honest truth. I couldn't even carry myself. I crawled there, and while I was crawling, I felt all the guilt from years of sin, all the shame, all the hurt, all the anger leave my body.
Wow.
I just felt instantly renewed, like a renewed body. And it was all replaced with love, with hope, with gentleness, with kindness, with goodness. Really, the fruits of the spirits just oozed out of my body. Mm.
Yeah.
The love of God, that love that and peace that and that really encompasses all understanding. And literally, I met Jesus, my Lord and Savior, at the altar that day.
Wow. And you weren't going to let anything stop you, Gigi. You literally crawled to the altar to accept Jesus as your Savior.
I really did. I really did. Physically, I couldn't even do it. I just crawled. That's the bottom line.
Wow. That is what I'm talking about. Wow. So you weren't ashamed of the gospel. You knew that Jesus was calling you, and you crawled to the altar to receive him. And on your way there, he is totally cleansing you, and you're being reborn with each inch that you crawl to the altar. Wow. I just absolutely love that. You know what? You got me fired up just telling me that story of you accepting Jesus as your Savior. Wow.
It's amazing. I still sometimes have to pinch myself to be like, wow, I can't believe this happened to me. You know, people say, yes, I was saved. I didn't feel the big, you know, anything. It was big.
Right.
It was big.
Oh, wow. Wow. So if there's anyone listening to our podcast right now and they're thinking about coming to Jesus and, you know, accepting him as their Savior, but something's holding them back, I want you, as someone who literally physically crawled to the altar to receive Jesus, what would you tell that person right now?
I would just say, just go. What have you got to lose? Honestly.
Yeah.
What can you lose? Just run. Don't even think about it. Who cares what others think? You know, the whole time I was there, I was like, oh my gosh, what if somebody sees me? What if somebody recognizes me and my sins? And I just run, crawl, do what you have to do.
Yeah, that is so good. Gigi said, run, crawl, do what you have to do. Just don't hesitate and wait to accept Jesus as your Savior. If he is calling you right now, don't wait. Just crawl to him, run to him. So, Gigi, how long have you been a Christian?
I've been a Christian since 2003 when I received baptism.
Yeah. Wow. Since 2003. So what was your life like before you made a decision to follow Jesus?
So honestly, as a Muslim, I was very bitter. I didn't understand Allah. And since nothing was to be questioned, we just went through the motions and we followed the teachings.
Right.
I was empty, though. I was a high school teacher. So I was I was really contributing to society. But as I felt numb on the inside, I loved on children, but I had no love for myself. I chose abusive men to fulfill a void, and I would then leave them or they would leave me. And that gave me like a feeling of justifying my victimhood. I was just a victim, basically, in this world. It was a very dark period in my life, to be honest.
Yeah.
But living without having a relationship with Jesus Christ is really rocky. It's a costly life. I mean, the Bible is clear. It says the wages of sin is death. And I was dying on the inside.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And many times that spiritual death will lead to an actual physical death.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And maybe not for me, because I was teaching, I was coming home, but I was dying on the inside. And so, of course, you have anxiety takes over, depression takes over. So, yes, eventually, you know, suicidal thoughts were my middle name at one point.
Oh, wow. That is darkness. Hey, Gigi, if there's a Muslim, practicing Muslim listening, or anyone who is outside of the faith of Christianity, and they've been searching, or they're considering searching for Jesus as their savior, especially to a practice of Muslim, you know, what would you say to encourage them?
I would say, read the Bible. It's very factual. The history you cannot refute the history, right? It's
right.
Written. And I would say, so study it for sure. But have an open heart and just come and visit a church. Just meet the people. There's no questions that will not be answered.
Mm.
There's no doubt that will not be answered. People will put their arms around you and not judge you. I remember saying to Pastor John, who was the pastor at the time at Effort Baptist, I remember saying, but I don't understand the Trinity. And he would say to me, he would put his arms around me and say, keep coming back.
Yeah.
So I would say, keep coming back.
That is so good. That is so good. Now, I know Evangelism on Fire Nation, you're probably wondering what I'm wondering, you know, about Gigi. So, Gigi, how did your life change after you became a Christian?
So after I became a Christian, I felt really free from the inside out. I felt free from oppression. You know, we're in a time where people talk about oppression. I felt free from oppression, which I had created in my own mind. And I will venture to say anyone who feels oppressed is because they have created that in their own mind.
Mm.
I had been a victim as a child, but now I'm a victor. I'm victorious over everything.
Yes.
My self-esteem is stronger. And I did that really by speaking positively as well. The Bible says we are snared by the words of our mouth. And I choose to speak life every day around me, around the people that are with me, so that I can continue to be a positive person. I don't feel broken anymore. I don't feel ugly. I don't want to commit suicide anymore. I don't pursue every broken man to try to fix their life.
Mm.
That was my thing, right? Let me find the most broken person so I can fix them.
Yeah.
So I actually stopped dating. So I had decided to stop dating for a while so I could date myself and get to know myself.
Yeah. Say that one more time. That's so good. I want everyone to hear that again.
For sure. I stopped dating, going from one man to another, and I started dating myself. I had a relationship with myself. I started loving on myself, taking care of myself. And I prayed to God. I wrote down actually what I wanted in a man. And a year later, I met my husband, Mike. And we have been married for 21 years now. We have an awesome kid together, which is a whole story with our son, actually. And I wish I could say that everything was easy and smooth since I've been a Christian, but that would be lying.
Right.
It's not that smooth. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to become a Christian and everything will be perfect. And that's not so. We tried to have a child for 3 years and nothing happened. And at the time, like I said, I was a teacher at a local high school and I would see these 16, 17-year-old get pregnant. And I would say, God, I'm serving you. I'm here 100% for you. Why am I not getting pregnant? You know?
Right.
We depleted that bank account with in vitro fertilization. And I was praying one day and I heard God loudly and clearly say, be still and know that I am God. And then he said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And right there and then, I went and took all the fertility drugs and I flushed them in the toilet bowl. And I said, we're stopping this. God knows my heart and knows I want to be a mother. And that's what's going to be.
Wow. So you totally trusted in the Lord with all your heart that he, not the fertility drugs, not anything else, that he was the one that's going to provide you with the child that you have a heart's desire for.
Yes. Amen. Exactly. That's what I did. And I remember the devil one day saying to me, see, you're not pregnant. Like every month would pass. And he'd say, see, look at the God you serve. You're not pregnant. And I would literally open the front door. I could still see myself doing that. I would open the front door. I would put the Bible on the floor. I would stand on it and I'd say, devil, flee out of my house. I am standing emotionally, spiritually, and physically on the word.
Wow. Amen. That's praise God. That is so powerful. So powerful.
2 years later, I remember I even went and bought a pair of little shoes, like baby shoes, and I would put them in the living room because that was one thing with my husband. I'd always have to pick up his shoes, and that was very annoying to me.
Right.
So I bought little baby shoes and I would put them in the living room and pick them up and put them back. And it might sound crazy to some, but you have to visualize what you want in life. You have to speak it. If you want it to manifest, you have to manifest it by faith first. Yes. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is so true. And I want to encourage everyone listening, Evangelism on Fire Nation, whatever dreams God has put in your heart right now, I want you to visualize those dreams like Gigi did with having an expectation of her child and speak those things which be not as though that they're going to be and trust in God for him to bring it to pass and for him to manifest your dreams. So that is so good, Gigi. Hey, what? Now, this is the question of the day, okay? What's one thing about your testimony that you've never shared with anyone?
Okay, so I've never shared with anyone that I have had two visions of Jesus. And that was while I was a Muslim, and Jesus was rescuing me. One, when I was 9 years old, I tried to commit suicide. And I was, we had a house that was very, very high. And I was upstairs and I thought I should throw myself from the second floor building. And he appeared to me and told me that he loved me. And that scared me so much that I just rebuked him right away. Like, I was like, no, I literally said no, because there could not be a Christian God in a Muslim family. Mm. So that, I mean, if my family had heard of that, they would have destroyed me. I can't even imagine what could have happened to me, honestly. So I just rebuked that and let it go. And the second one was after I had graduated from college and all, I was in my bed and I was just crying because I felt like there was nothing for me to do. No one loved me. I didn't care. I was a victim. Nobody cared. And I wanted to kill myself. And I closed my eyes and I pictured myself throwing myself in the abyss. And I felt this hand, this huge hand, pick me up and put me back on this mountain. And it happened like three times that same day, that same moment. And when I looked up, there was a bright light around me. The room was all bright. And actually, my eyes were open. So it's a true vision, like not a dream or anything. And Jesus was telling me that everything was going to be fine.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. Hey, I want to thank you so much for, you know, sharing those two, really, they're personal touches from God. And I consider it an honor and a privilege that you're sharing that part of your testimony that you've never shared with anyone before. Gigi, thank you so much for having the courage to do that.
Thank you for having me, Pastor.
Absolutely. Now, if someone's listening to this podcast right now and they haven't committed to following Jesus, what's the number one thing you want to share with them?
If someone is listening today, and I hope they are, I urge you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to show me and you how to love, that unconditional love, really. You know, it's one thing to love, but it's another thing to have that unconditional love. He offers us forgiveness of our sins. He washes them all away as we confess with our mouth that he is Lord. He took someone like me. Sometimes I think God has a funny sense of humor. He took someone like me, a piece of coal, and turned it into a diamond. Mm. In essence, he loves you just as you are, with your imperfections and your flaws. He died for us, and he rose from the dead and proved to us that he is the only living God. There might be many gods out there, little gods, but he is the only living God. He says that he has no respect of a person, which means that what he does for me, he will do for you. And that's fact. I came with $20 from a third world country, crossed the ocean, and I now own three businesses. I am married. I have an awesome son, whom I named Christopher to glorify Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer, I pray that you listen to the voice of guidance so that you can focus on God to help you find love, purpose, directions, and to place you amongst people that need to hear that Jesus is alive. That's the bottom line, really. People need hear this.
Yes. Yeah. I love what you just said, Gigi. That's the bottom line. And that is the bottom line. That is it. And look, for everyone that's listening now, you just heard Gigi just break down Christ's love for you and Jesus, why he died on the cross for you and how to accept Jesus. So to sum up what Gigi just said, you know, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's what happened to Gigi. She literally physically crawled to the altar to receive Jesus as her savior. And today, if you're believing what Gigi just explained about how you accept Jesus as your savior, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. And it's as simple as believing and confessing with your mouth. Confessing meaning you just say a prayer, accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's how you get reborn, just like Gigi got reborn as she's crawling to the altar to receive Jesus. So for those of you, I'm talking to you right now, who know that God is calling you to receive his son Jesus as your Savior, don't hesitate. Now is your moment. And I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Just say this prayer. Just simply repeat after me, wherever you are. You might be driving your car. You might be working at your office. You may be at the gym, getting your pump on, getting your workout on. Wherever you are, if you believe what Gigi explain to you and what I'm sharing with you on how to accept Jesus as your Savior, just repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross, giving your life for me to forgive me of my sins and to demonstrate your unconditional love for me. I believe that you resurrected, coming back to life on the third day. I believe that you're alive, hearing my prayer right this second. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and to take over my life. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen. Gigi, I want to thank you so much for you just coming on our podcast and sharing your amazing God story with everyone that's listening today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Pastor. It was an honor and a privilege to be on your podcast today.
Thank you so much for your time with me today. It's been an awesome time. Make sure to join me for our next episode, Evangelism on Fire Nation. Let's continue praying, asking God to build our nation of people so we can make a huge impact in our lost and searching world. Be a difference maker and share our podcast with people who want to take part in engaging with our mission. Remember to invite at least one friend to listen to our next episode with you. Sharing is caring. Make sure to click the subscribe button on the Evangelism on Fire. Be generous and show us some love by leaving a 5-star review. God bless you and have the best week of your life. Be sure to join me for our next episode of Evangelism on Fire.